Hello and welcome. This is Some Guy and the Bug Man. Figure things out. And I am Some Guy.
I am the Bug Man. Hello. And welcome to our show.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
We've done some... we're on an adventure.
We are. We're on an adventure. It's summertime. We decided to go deep sea diving.
Yep.
And we're here with Jessica Alba and, believe it or not, Paul Walker in the flesh. And we happened to find this really cozy pineapple at the bottom of the sea that we're kind of taking a break.
Yep.
Just seeing the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
We told them we needed to kind of stop and record a show real quick. So here we are, spending time with y'all.
Yeah. And we haven't gone to inspect the pineapple too close, but it is a little curiosity down here that we plan to check out. Funny thing about Paul Walker, I know that you guys all think that he's dead. Live and well. Little bit of the Walking Dead thing going on, but there's just enough left of Paul Walker. It seems like if you're a good enough guy, your brain kind of sticks around after the rot and all that takes over.
Why not?
He's doing okay, but best thing about Paul Walker Walking Dead version is down here under the deep blue sea. You know, the sharks can smell the blood on him. This guy.
Yeah.
Got no blood. He actually smells like diseased flesh, and he's the reason that we're still alive down here. So thanks, dead Paul Walker.
Thank you, Paul Walker. What a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
What a good guy.
Not a better floating corpse in the sea.
Not one. This week, I believe we'll mark the 4th of July. It's coming up, right? It is
4th of July
upon us.
Yeah. So do you got a question then this week about 4th of July?
Yes. So it's been a while. We have a backlog, if you will, of unasked questions, and we need to go through and just clean up.
Yeah.
And so this is what we at Some Bugman Studios mm-hmm. like to call What Does What Mean 4th of July edition.
And to give a little refresher, what does what mean? It's one of those universal questions that you can ask to... derail any conversation you just don't want to be a part of, or when things are getting a little out of hand around the punch bowl with old Uncle Jim and he's just spouting off some crazy story, throw this one out to Uncle Jim and listen, you'll have him puzzled for hours. But it's more than just what does what mean, that question. There are so many questions that you can throw into these conversations and immediately exit. Just get yourself out of these uncomfortable positions.
That's it.
We're here for you guys.
We're here for you. And the first question that has been on our mind, and we've not had a good way to bring it up, is if you're our age, somewhere between, 30 and 100, you'll remember back in the late 90s, McDonald's had this exclusive offer. This was not a TV thing. This was not a Blockbuster thing, not a premiere video thing.
Right.
That was something that was in our area. They put out a VHS tape that had the wacky adventures of Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
I don't know why more people aren't talking about this.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where did it come from? What caused McDonald's to get into animation? And why are they not still doing it? What was wrong with those that they decided, hey, we need to get out of here?
Yeah. Like a whole generation of baby boomers think up this idea that, hey, you know what the young end of those Gen Xers and those early millennials need? It's some live-action clown going right directly into their TV after they've been drugged up with a Happy Meal. And those guys were geniuses.
Yeah,
it affected a generation of kids. Whatever happened to those McDonald's VHSs?
I don't know. And the animation style, like, part of it was live-action. Then it went to some kind of, like, weird 3D modeling. And then it was straight up like We Are Monsters, creepy animation, and it was great.
Yeah.
I don't
It was the kind of stuff that would give you nightmares and make you smile at the same time.
Exactly.
And the nightmares start as soon as the video does. There is a clown walking into the room
yes.
who's supposedly a child's figure.
And you're
thinking, boy, I am terrified, but I cannot take my eyeballs off the screen. And
if that wasn't enough, he had a dog that was also a clown.
It was basically
a clown
made of
dog.
French fries and ketchup and dog meat. It was just the creepiest looking thing you've ever seen.
Yes.
But
yes.
Let's get more of that. Listen, Bugman and I sat and had a conversation before this show about these McDonald's VHSs, and I can tell you, before this night is over, my daughter's eyeballs will be glued to the screen if I have to put them there myself, because she's going through the same trauma that I went through as a child watching these VHSs.
Right before bed.
Yeah.
My brother and I used to watch The Far-Flung Forest.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember them sitting in a car going camping into the far-flung forest.
Yeah.
Why is that not around now?
I don't know.
Why is no one talking about
Listen,
that?
Listen, and the character that everybody knows about today, I mean, you don't see the clown out very much. And even the Burger King had their king for a while, and they released those video games. And I guess he's still out there. But the character that people, I think, most relate to today about fast food is the Wendy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this Twitter account, you see?
Yes.
Now, listen,
right.
Here's what I want. I want a cartoon released on VHS, mind you. And I know it's 2019, but I want a VHS cartoon released about the Wendy's girl just as an absolute gangster. Have you seen the takedowns on this Twitter account?
Yep.
Can you imagine the Wendy's girl being written like that into a children's cartoon where she just absolutely destroys? Like, she's just walking down the street, sees some old man with a burger stand, takes a bite of it, and spits it back in his face. And that's the children's TV show of Wendy's just absolutely destroying your grandpa about how terrible his burgers taste.
Yeah, we're calling out to you, Wendy's. Where are you at?
Where are my VHS cartoons of the Wendy's teaching kids how to be savage these days? Where are the wasted resources going? Probably into giving those chicken nuggets to that kid on Twitter.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So
thanks a lot, McDonald's.
So thanks a lot, McDonald's. So that brings us to the next question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do people who live near fountains have to pee all the time?
Yeah.
You always hear that, the cliche thing, like if you're near running water, it makes you have to pee. Well, I've been in subdivisions around here that they have fountains right in the middle of everything,
mm-hmm.
or fountains in their front yards,
yep.
or whatever. Are they just constantly having to use the bathroom all the time?
Yeah. I mean, you would think so, because the water's running and that's all you're hearing, that it would just be a constant trip back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, and possibly people that even couldn't make it as far as the bathroom, that the only place where they're going to be able to go where there's any running water is the fountain itself.
Okay.
I mean, have you ever tasted fountain water? It doesn't taste good.
There you go.
I'm here to tell
you.
It's not the kind of thing you want to drink.
There you are. So, next, we're just flying
through.
Well,
hold on. Let me tell you something about this fountain water.
It's
like, it'll make you pee itself. You hearing me? Like, you get close to this stuff and you're going to the bathroom. Listen, I was in a zoo once.
Okay.
As a kid. And I was trying to, you know, I was collecting some quarters. Now, the only place you can collect quarters in the zoo is in the fountain. So
I'm in
the fountain and I'm collecting quarters because I'm trying to get enough quarters to get pressed into the little animal shapes to put in my little collector's booklet. I had the pennies that I needed, but I definitely needed some more quarters. So I'm in there, I'm stealing quarters from the fountain. And as I'm doing this, I notice that some guards start coming this way, like security starts running over towards me. And I start to panic because I'm thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I got to get out of this fountain. So I jump out of the fountain, and I'm not kidding you, I ran straight to the bathroom. That fountain sent me to the bathroom in an absolute panic, and I just pretended to be using it in one of the stalls. I don't know if those security guards ever came in there or not, but all I've got to say is thank you to the fountain that made me have to go to the bathroom, because it really made for a legitimate cover. Oh, this kid's just using the toilet. He's not stealing quarters.
It was just instinctual at that point. Yeah. That's just all you could think about.
Yeah. Throw That's that incredible. One at your relatives. Listen, steal the story, take it, and just put insert take yourself it. In the fountain and get out of whatever conversation's going on at the 4th of July.
Yeah. I've had to tell some stories to get out of conversations at mine. So you had mentioned the zoo. Yep. If you were a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, you remember the OG Power Rangers.
Yeah.
What would your animal, thank you, / dinosaur be? Because there wasn't all dinosaurs. There was a mammoth, saber-toothed tiger, whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you had to choose, what would your animal be? What do you think?
Let's see. If I had to choose, I'd probably go with the blobfish.
Blobfish, like that.
Or you know, if I wanted something really strong, was something like with some attack, I'm going honey badger.
You know, they don't care much. They don't care much at all.
It's just they'd come flying. You know how they would shoot them out of a cannon?
Yeah,
and you just come flying out of there, just, you know, arms spread, akimbo, whatever, just like, what's up, bro? Just all the way through the air. You could just see the dude flying just like that until he just starts running on all fours. Yeah.
There would be no forming into an arm or a leg. Mm-mm. Like, once the honey badger enters the field, everything is annihilated.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing has a chance.
Yeah.
I love that.
The honey badger Morphin Power Ranger is the, you know, we'll call him the gray one. Gray, or, you know, a different shade of black, like a much edgier version, because he doesn't care about anything.
No, he's
like
he doesn't care.
I want to be a honey badger that wears a fedora that is absolutely the edgiest Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, even edgier than the Green Ranger, who's like disappearing all the time and, oh, I walk alone, like, you know.
And plays a flute. What's that about?
Yeah.
That's also a knife. Yeah. I don't know about that. So I think I would be a duck. I feel like that is one of the most versatile animals. I could be on land. I could be in the air. I could be in water at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole waddling thing, I do that anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm comfortable waddling. So, and as far as the color, I want to be orange, but I want to have red flames coming out of, like, my hands, like from the hands back, to, like, give the image of I'm punching so hard and so fast that my fist might be on fire. And so, yeah, I'm the flaming duck. That's me.
And those duck feet, big and flat as they are, that crushes a lot of enemies. I mean, you know, you get some innocence in there as well, but you clean up real fast with that stuff.
Exactly.
You're just squishing everything under your big web feet, you know, no problem. What color is this Power Ranger?
So, like I said, I want to be orange.
Ah, yeah.
I want to be the Orange Ranger.
Orange Ranger.
I just feel like I'm going to be the one that everybody's looking at. I'm going to be spectacular.
The flamboyant. Okay.
The flamboyant Duck Ranger.
And while you're,
that's me.
While you're over there doing that, I'm the Fedora Ranger. Just over here in the corner. I don't want anyone to look at me.
Fedora Ranger.
Just, you know, got it right over my eyes, and I'm kind of up against a brick wall, like, ugh, whatever, kid. You know, like, that's my whole deal.
With your katana on your back.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We need to write this
stuff. Edgelord Honey Badger Mighty Morphin Power Ranger with the flamboyant duck that wants to be seen and on stage.
That's it.
Best Power Rangers miniseries I've ever heard of.
I can picture it. Okay, so the next one, and then you can take them from here. This will be my last one.
Okay.
How can we make podcasts for the deaf?
Okay.
I care so much about diversity and getting to everyone. There has to be a way that we can reach everyone with our podcast, even deaf people.
So we let's say we get the full transcript together in a document. I'm sure, I don't know if there are printers that can print in Braille.
There's got
to
be.
But I imagine there has to be something that can print in Braille.
Yeah.
So we get the document that can be printed out in Braille, and somebody downloads this, like with the use of audio tools on their phone or whatever, like it's reading it back to them what they're doing, print it off, and now they've got it, and then they turn up the headphones so loud that as they drag their finger across the Braille, they can't hear what's going on through the headphones, but they can feel the vibration of the headphones on their ears and just drag along. And as long as they can keep pace with us, they can basically get our inflection, you know, like how loud we're being, if we're laughing or not. Like if it says, you know, raucous laughter, ha 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 ha, you know, it's like, blah, 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 it's, you know, vibrating on the ear thing.
And you would have like exclamation points and stuff like that. Sure. So you would, you know, sure you would know. Do you remember the movie Sneakers with Robert Redford? There was a guy on there that was blind. There would be like this type out of information. And he had this board that was like raising bumps and stuff so that he could read. Like, that's what I imagine there being, like a closed captioning kind of thing. Like, as we're speaking, they're just sitting there listening or reading to whatever we're saying. And I imagine us just throwing in weird words, or maybe the caption didn't get it right, and so there'd be a couple of words that, you know, anyway, it wouldn't be perfect at first.
Yeah.
But it would be fine.
But hey,
it would be fine.
Listen, why hasn't this already been made?
Thank you.
You know?
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
We do want everyone to be able to hear the podcasts, or at least experience the podcasts in one way or another. And that's one more community that we could be reaching.
That's it. That's it.
So,
we care about the people. We care about the people.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of a plant does a donut come from?
Okay.
All right. It's a nut.
Yeah.
Made of dough, but it's a nut. Where does it come from? Why doesn't a peanut come from a pea plant? Okay.
Uh-huh.
And are peas that come in a pod, are they nuts?
Are they nuts?
Or, you know, where's the nuts?
Yes.
Is what I'm saying. Where do they come
from? Where's the nuts? Where do they come from? That's a great question. So it would be a dough tree.
Mm.
A dough tree. And donuts come from the dough tree, or you pick donuts from the dough root.
That's where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I've got in my mind, I'm thinking like this old, you know, very stubborn 90-year-old babushka in the Soviet era, you know, Ukraine or something's just pulling up. My family pulls up the donuts for ages. I don't know if that's a Russian accent or exactly what a babushka would sound like. But, you know, just my family has broken our backs to pulling up the donuts for generations.
Yeah,
and we will continue to do so. You know, they just...
And you... Yeah.
Donut roots.
You clean them up, and then as they heat up, you like puncture the tops, and that's where the icing comes from.
Yeah.
The icing is inside, and you just have to get it to push out.
Yeah, it comes out of the ground like as hard as a beet, you know?
Yes,
you know?
A beet.
Some Russian babushkas farm beets. We will have beets, child. And then, you know, the others are farming donuts. We will have donuts every night until you like it, you know? It'd be great.
That's amazing. What if donuts are some kind of weird beet hybrid that like they're cousins?
Yeah.
Like if plants were a family, the donut and the beet were some kind of weird
They're
cousin.
Keeping the real donuts from us.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a hardened donut?
No.
All we have are these soft ones. Like, where are the real donuts?
I want organic donuts.
Yeah.
I only eat organic donuts.
Picked
by hand by babushkas.
I think that the Soviets have kept the real donuts from the West.
The Soviets. The real donut culprits are the Soviets.
I mean, listen, Gorbachev is still alive. The dude is hoarding the donut roots.
Oh, my gosh. It makes a lot of, that makes a lot of sense.
What we have is
an
imitation over here in the West.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're onto something. Yeah. I think you're onto something.
Well, it is 4th of July weekend, or week.
After all.
I guess it's coming up anyway. It's not this week, but it is coming up. And that's what this show is about. So, to kick off, like, if you're just at the 4th of July celebration, and you want to change the subject, but, you know, you still want to stay patriotic. Like, you don't want to completely derail the holiday and keep things on topic. We've got a couple questions for you here that I think roll off quite well and will stay in the theme and keep people's mindset where it needs to be. So
let's do it.
Why do we have to pretend that the kid up there singing the national anthem is any good at all?
That's a great question.
Like, do I have to continue the illusion, like the whole, like the you know, the emperor's not wearing any clothes, people? Am I allowed to say
that,
you know, we're all going to pretend that the child was good for his own self-esteem? Or can I get real with the kid on the 4th of July?
Yeah. Wake him up. Open his or her eyes to the real world. Because if I bust into the office Monday morning singing, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
They're going to shut me down. So that seems more realistic than, oh, he did a great job.
Yeah. I mean, that kid's going to end up in front of an audience that doesn't care anything about him.
No.
Nobody's patriotic. He's not going to be singing a patriotic song. You know, he's going to be singing some Katy Perry song in front of all of his friends at the fifth grade talent show. And it's not going to work out.
No.
You know, it's not going to work out. So I think the best thing to do is
be to blame.
Yeah, exactly. It just exercise our freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
To go to this kid and be brutally honest.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just, son, you need to do something else with your life.
Yes, thank you.
The song's not working out. Because here's what I want to have happen a lot of times with the way these songs go. I'm thinking, let's just start the show. All right, let's dispense with the niceties of the song, and let's get the fireworks rolling. Because as soon as you get those things going up in the air and exploding, popping everywhere, then now we've drowned out the national anthem, and we can get on with the reason why everybody showed up. We want to see the big red, white, and blue, and green, and purple, and orange lights exploding in the sky, and my eardrums to be popping and just bouncing in my skull. That's what we're all here for. So let's not pretend that this kid's song is any good anymore. Why
unless you're at the Bugman residence. We actually do not believe in exploding fireworks, believe it or not. No exploding fireworks. It may come as a shock to you, but I have said before on the show, I am a pacifist. I don't believe in violence.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like a firework only stands for violence.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, you ask yourself, you got the big rocket looking thing out in the yard. Your Uncle Jim goes out there to light it. He lights the fuse. You see it. You're all in anticipation.
Uh-huh.
And it explodes. I mean, is it really the firework that you're after anyway, or the anticipation? So for those couple of reasons, what we have done, what we have incorporated into our tradition, is a longer fuse that builds up to the rocket, and instead of a violent, you know, taking off, this rocket gracefully ascends into the clouds, and we can kind of just follow it as it goes up and celebrate its peaceful joining with the sky, if you will. It's very peaceful, some guy. It's very peaceful.
Wow. That is, I understand exactly what you mean, comrade.
Uh-huh.
That's coming across loud and clear, if you get my feeling. So you just have a 4th of July with no noise.
With no noise. Yeah. And no violence specifically. No violence. Like, no, like, explosions are so violent.
Yeah.
They're so violent.
Nothing pops in the air?
Nothing pops in the air. I have a weak heart. You know what I mean?
Fire them suckers off. And it's all about the anticipation.
It's all about the anticipation.
Like, you're watching, you're going, something might happen, it might happen, it might.
And then it doesn't.
Nothing happens.
That feeling doesn't go away.
Right. Yeah.
You're still excited.
Still sort of get the adrenaline. Know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're running off the adrenaline of the fuse slowly sparkling up into the firework and then bliss.
Yeah.
And then just this graceful bliss as it slowly ascends into the clouds.
And no explosions, no blood, no missing limbs, no one's caught the house on fire.
Not a chance. Like, there is no chance of anything turbulent happening whatsoever.
That certainly sounds like a discussion that would change any topic on the 4th of July.
No, well, maybe it's worth having.
No exploding fireworks. That is,
maybe it's worth having.
That, hey, listen, if it's the kind of 4th of July for your family where you want to take a nap, then that's the kind of 4th of July you want to have. Very calm and unlike some of the stuff you hear about. There are kids out there just getting ridiculous with their fireworks. They're blowing up frogs. They're lighting newspapers on fire, trying to light all the sparklers at once, you know, holding them together like a big old torch. Kids getting their hands blown off. So, you know what
Can
I say?
Can you imagine?
More power to you.
Thank you.
No exploding fireworks. Floating fireworks.
Floating fireworks.
Floating fireworks.
It's the future.
Well, folks, I think we've got those figured out. What does what mean on the 4th of July?
On the 4th of July, baby.
These are some topics you can take to any barbecue. And trust me, you drop these bombs in there, no explosions, thank you. But drop these bombs.
Thank you.
You're getting out of there, changing those topics. And you're going to be the center of attention just long enough for you to get out of the room, get away from these conversations and away from these people you don't want to talk to. Because you're going to leave them so confused or intrigued that the whole conversation will now be centered around this new, exciting topic that you've brought up with them. Listen, if I have to say anything, I think go with those McDonald's VHSs.
Yes, that's 100% go-to.
Mm-hmm. So, with those figured out, we've got an ad for you. I want to thank our sponsors today, and we'll let them roll.
This episode of Some Guy and the Bugman Figure Things Out is brought to you by Corn Chips. Hello, and welcome. We're back. I hope you enjoyed those sultry sounds. Now, on to our listener questions. None from Facebook this episode, so Facebook listeners, please pick it up. We depend on you greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, we will start with our friend, our dear friend, our special friend, Johnny Lasagna Shipwreck.
Uh-huh.
Fire hydrant, bandana, fire hydrant,
driveway, flying squirrel, volcano,
casino.
Yeah.
So why don't hotels have a tuck-in service? As much as I travel, I deserve that. You know, Johnny boy, of course you do.
Yeah.
You deserve the world. You are a special boy, and I want you to do something for me. The next time you go somewhere, let me know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come tuck you in myself.
Yep.
Okay? Don't worry about the hotels. They're not going to do you right no matter what. Call me.
Yeah.
I will tuck you in.
Yeah.
I will do it.
We've got this thing going on where Bugman, not only will he tuck you in, he will sit in the corner of the room and protect you and watch you sleep. And
that's right.
Make sure that nothing comes in the room to, you know, to bother you, that housekeeping stays away, that not even your wife and kids will have access on this mm-hmm. travel trip. And he will keep his eyes on you at all times.
At all times. Now, this brings us to our next question from Grouchy Surge. Are you willing to accept whoever is assigned to your room? Now, this is a direct reference to Johnny's tweet,
right,
which I think is a good concern. I had the same concern, Grouchy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think, don't worry about the hotel, because you should be super concerned with who these hotels are hiring
days. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the thing is, beggars can't be choosers.
That's
in
right.
this situation. If you start asking the hotel, can somebody come tuck me in? You know, an entity named Bertha with pink hair and cutoffs mm-hmm. that is absolutely a dude is going to come in there and tuck you in, and you're going to be going, oh, all right, what's the headset for? And he's going to say, it's none of your business.
And it's none of your business.
He will tuck you in, and he might watch you in the room. He may not watch you in the room.
Yeah.
But you're definitely going to wake up with a bowl of macaroni cheese stuffed underneath your blankets, okay, when you wake
yes.
up first thing in the morning. And again, beggars cannot be choosers. This will happen to you if you start
yes.
asking hotels to tuck you in at night. I mean, it's just
yep.
what happens in the hotels. I don't know which hotels you're going to, but the mac and cheese thing is a regular occurrence.
It's a real thing. Our next question is also from Grouchy. As he is pointing to a creepy-looking thing in his backyard, he asks, if I kill it, will it unsettle, the delicate ecosystem of Nevada? First of all, I want to say it's oddly like selfish and only thinking about yourself that you think you kill one thing in your own backyard and it affects all of Nevada.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but at the same time, I'm intrigued. I kind of wish that you would do it, but document it, like it's not videotape anymore.
No.
We just say record it on your phone.
Record it, I suppose.
Yeah, just record it so that we can see the exact results of what's happening.
Yeah.
And then you never know. I mean, Nevada is home to, like, the Chupacabra.
I was about to say, like,
Area 51.
Is this the Chupacabra? Like, is it that kind of a killer? You think taking him out, all of these species are now going to survive?
Do it, Surge.
You know.
Do it, Surge.
I've never had Chupacabra tacos, but I'm sure they are delicious.
They have to be.
So,
they have to be.
Grouchy, if you don't mind, go ahead and kill this thing. Make the tacos or something. And get back to us on how that tastes, because,
yes,
listen,
save me some.
The ecosystem of Nevada will be fine. Okay?
It will be fine.
It'll be fine.
It will survive.
Everything out there survives on a healthy diet of cactus and scorpion anyway. So just kill the chupacabra. Everything else is going to take care of itself.
That's right. So that's all of our online questions, but we actually have an in-life question.
Yes.
Right?
Now, this is the kind of question that comes to us from the public. We serve all of you here on them internets regularly, every other week, figuring out your questions and helping you guys. But every now and then, we just overhear a conversation where it's a situation where people definitely need our help. Like, if they had our show to listen to, they would have already asked the question on a show.
That's it.
Or we would probably have answered it in a previous episode. But to the young teenage crew that was sitting across from me, like the booth next to me at the Purple Cow, you know, not that long ago, I offer you this wisdom. Now, again, this is teenage girl sitting in a Purple Cow, And I will tell you her question exactly as I heard it. Okay, like, hear me out. If you filled a pool with chips, like, all the way, you know what I mean? Like, if you jumped in it, at what point would you, like, stop moving? Or would you just, like, hit the bottom of the pool or something? And then her female friend says, but what kind of chips, though? This girl's the philosopher in the group.
Mm-hmm.
This nearby bro sauce friend says, bro, that wouldn't matter. It's all chips.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the most confident kid in the world. Now, I have to say, I do disagree with the bro sauce.
Say that.
Okay. I have to disagree with him. It does matter. It's not just chips. Okay.
Yes.
I agree. I'm on the level with the philosopher female teenage friend. What kind of chips
exactly
are filling this just like pull all the like way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious what your opinion is on this. I have a few ideas, but
So I feel like if the question is, if you filled a pool with chips,
mm-hmm.
I think the question should be, what kind of chips would it have to be filled with that I could sink to the bottom? What kind of chips would it be filled with for me to just kind of stick?
Yeah.
You know?
To float a little.
Yes. Mm. Because the question about, like, at what point would you stop moving? Would you hit the bottom? Every chip is different.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like if you filled it up with Doritos, you'd just die. Those things are so sharp.
They would cut right through you.
They cut right through you.
Yeah. And then you'd be choking on cheese dust.
Yes,
The whole way down it, you'd get stuck. I mean, it'd be death by a thousand cuts, or you'd suffocate on cheese dust.
Now, if I had to guess what kind I could jump in and maybe actually swim in a little, mm-hmm. it would be Lay's Original.
Right.
They are the greasiest
Lay's
chip.
Taters, bro. Yep.
Period. So it has to be, those would be the most water-like
mm-hmm.
chip.
You'd sink right to the bottom.
You would sink, yeah.
There'd be like this weird gooey film. Like all the mm-hmm. way down to the bottom, because that is like slightly hardened grease.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Formed into a wavy looking circle. Like that's what a Lay's tater is. It's just grease. It's some kind of, it's
mm-hmm.
like a, what do they call that? Like a non-Newtonian liquid or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
That it's only solid for a certain amount or like whenever it's behaving in a certain area. And then, you know, you run it through your fingers and those Lay's taters will just melt right through your fingers. They're gross. Yep. And then you get into, like a can of Pringles. Those things are just going to turn to dust. Like as you jump into that pit, it's going to be like sand that you're walking on. So
I mean, how many little chips and not chips, that's not the right word, obviously, Bugman. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
Little fragments get, put into the bottom just from being in the package.
Right.
So imagine filling up a pool and intentionally dropping into them. Yeah, they disintegrate.
Yep.
They would disintegrate.
Yep.
I love that question. I feel like we're influencing the world. I feel like after hearing this question, they had to be connected with some bug man somewhere.
It's the next generation we're talking about.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
For all I know, this was a question on her science homework. Look, we've made the world a better place.
A better place.
So I guess we got all those figured out. And the question is, if we've done your figuring for you this time or any other time, would you consider supporting us on Patreon? This patriotic 4th of July coming up. Think about us when you see those fireworks shooting off, and share this show, share this episode with the people that you want to stop talking to you the most, because we've got the topics to cover for any of those types of conversations. Share it with your friends so that they can protect themselves from those conversations and from those people they dislike on the 4th of July, because truly, what does what mean is the pinnacle of all philosophical questions.
Truly.
And this episode, truly, I think, is a great illustration of that concept. So, the link to our Patreon is in our show notes and on our website. You can find us at somebugman.com. You can find the show at somebugman on Twitter. And you can find me at Chase the Rev on Twitter.
You can find me at Bugman underscore Bradley on Twitter. Thank you very much.
Now I'm going to need to come over and see these non-exploding fireworks.
You'll have a great, peaceful time. It will lull you to sleep.